This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and welcome to Running Together, weaving our way along Conversation Street, sharing, learning and getting some motivation for our own movement along the way. I must confess, our guest today was someone I initially thought of as aloof and self-focused. You're smiling away at me. Luckily for me, people such as Callum Templeton changed my perspective, and the more I see him, the more I get to know him, the more I find a truly generous, helpful and passionate advocate for running. My guest is an impressive distance runner, with his recent performances all the more remarkable, given that he manages a hectic business while still finding time to be the devoted father and partner he seeks to be. If that's not enough, much of his running is for and with others. Oscar Inskibanes, welcome to Running Together.
Thanks, Pete. Much appreciated.
What comes to mind when I say the following two words, Phil Costley?
He's a great man, and he was my maths teacher, and I failed maths, but I won't hold that against him. I think I was flung into an environment at high school coming from a very small primary school where, you know, it was quite a low decile. There were 70 kids, and my primary school principal and one of the teachers there thought, you know, Oscar, you could do some great things. And whatever those great things were then at that time. And so I got flung into this high school environment with a couple of thousand kids who had, you know, money and endless resource. And I think I probably wasn't ready to cope with that. And that can make often finding some direction in who you are quite difficult, right? In a time which is hard anyway. Like, no one knows who they are at 14 or 15.
That's true.
And you're trying to figure that out. So Phil, for me, along with two other teachers, but, you know, particularly Phil, I guess, saw in me that I needed an outlet, and just someone to believe in me and give me a little push in the right direction. So, you know, we probably don't talk as much as we should anymore, but definitely from, you know, 14 or 15 years old through to 25 or 26, he was always there when I needed a chat. He was parked up the front in his Subaru Forester at 6:30 a.m. every Sunday morning on the horn, making sure that I was coming out for a run around Godley Head. I probably didn't appreciate him as much as I could have when you're younger, but when you look back and you go, well, at that time, that was a guy who was Commonwealth Games standard marathoner. And, you know, I was probably a training hack too, but, you know, we were out, we were conversating, he was believing, he was making sure that I was doing good things, and that gave me a bit of purpose and definitely helped me get through high school. And I guess I've got lots of energy and direct that energy in a positive way rather than some of the negative things that were coming up for me.
There are a few people out there, aren't there, who you think they've got so much energy and it's just directing it in the right direction, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, did you enjoy him as your math teacher?
I did. I don't, it's definitely not a reflection of his ability to teach, probably a reflection of my ability to sit still and focus. And it's funny now because obviously I run a business and I use maths every day, but maybe it's the application rather than the...
So when did you realise that running had a place in your life and that it would benefit you or could benefit you?
Yeah, I don't ever remember beginning to be Oscar the Runner. It sort of just happened in a way. And I won my first Canterbury title in year 13 at cross country championships. And then I followed that up with a double at the road champs. These are the school ones. So I didn't run for a club because I played touch and football at a relatively high level. And running was something I did, one, to be fit for those sports, and two, because it was something I could push myself in. And obviously, you know, Phil would help me with that. So it probably wasn't until I was sort of in that, the end of year 13, when school started to finish up and the team sports started to sort of go away, and then I sort of started running a bit more because, you know, it was something that I enjoyed doing. And then when Katie and I moved to Wanaka, it was just something that I did and became, and then I'm running 10 times a week and here I am 12 years later. Yeah. I don't really have an answer.
Yeah, it happens over time.
Yeah,
it's become a central part of your life.
Yeah, and it helps me be a better person, and I think you realise that. and then you have some success that helps, whether that's winning something or personal success, whatever those little micro and macro goals are, and then something that becomes a routine, and then it sort of just sets in, and you look, I won't sugarcoat it, there's days I don't like it, you know, and there's days where I think this is silly, but then more often than not, it's days, well, you know, I do like doing it, and I'm here, and I'm now, and I'm in my body, and I'm doing my run, and I think it helps you be present and focused, so, and I need those two things from my personality, yeah.
You have developed considerable knowledge and experience of running shoes.
Mm.
Can you share with us some of what you've learned?
Yeah, so I guess to backstory that is the Frontrunner Queenstown was my first sponsor. So he gave me my first couple of pairs of shoes.
Okay.
And not to throw that one on you, that was 2010, 2011. And I worked for him a couple of days a week when we lived down there. And then that sort of grew into a passion of shoes and mechanics and running. And then when we moved back to Christchurch in 2015, I didn't want to be one of those people that could have been good. So I needed to find a vehicle to enable me to continue to do the sport I loved while supporting a family and a wife and a child and myself and my own running. And so, you know, I was very fortunate that the owner of the Frontrunner franchise offered for us to purchase the store in the Colombo Mall, and me being me took that on and went, yeah, I think I can make this work. Again, focus and right effort. And so that meant that, yeah, I have spent 10 or 11 years watching people run, listen about their running, and hopefully give some of my enthusiasm over to them and enable them to have some of the good experiences that I've had. And in terms of footwear, look, you could put five podiatrists, five store owners, and three physios in the room together, and none of us would agree on what the best way to do it was. But I think, you know, a lot of what we do is we interpret what you're talking about, what you like to feel and how much of it you'd like to do, and then try and marry up some sort of system which enables you to do those things. Look, if you're a barefoot person, I think that's fantastic. Do some stride outs on the grass. But are we supporting that with some time in the gym to make sure that the rest of you is strong enough? 100%. So, you know, yes, I sell shoes and they pay the bills, but the shoes are almost a byproduct of making sure that the community of runners are educated and able to do things the way they'd like to do them. Shoes just keep the door open, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. On that point, in Frontrunner Colombo, and it's something I haven't seen before, there's something called the Run Lab.
Yep.
So when you're talking about the mechanics, I'm aware it's related to that. Mm-hmm. Can you share with me how that can help?
Yeah. So I guess, you know, running is just hopping through space, you know, when it sort of boils down to it. And, you know, I guess over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, one of my passions has been, you know, watching people move. And I quite like figuring out what's going on. And so I've done some run coaching study, and I've done some human kinematics study over the last few years with the small amount of time that I had available. And so Run Lab is, it's sort of like an ultrasound of run technique in a way.
Oh, wow.
So it's sort of, I've got some tools that enable me to get an indication of how someone is moving through space and work with, you know, the physios, the podiatrists, the sports doctors to capture imagery, strength and conditioning coaches, to capture that imagery and that data to help people bring some awareness about how they're moving. It's a really odd thing. A runner might run between 3 and 11 times a week, but very few of us have watched ourselves do it.
No.
A lot of what I do isn't necessarily gait retraining. I'm not so much a big fan of that. Some of it's technique, some of it's just look up. Little cues and things that people can go away with, but a lot of the time it's actually just bringing awareness to the person. And then, because we've been around a while, we've got some great connections in the community about where we can send people to get some help. So do you need a strength and conditioning coach? Do you need to see a podiatrist? A physiotherapist of some description to enable you to move better and enjoy or reach your potential that you'd like to do. So that is essentially Run Lab is a culmination of all the things I've learned over the last 10 or 11 years. And hopefully it's an hour with me, and hopefully that's enthusiastic. And you walk away, even if you walk away feeling just better about running, that's a win. But I do enjoy it. Most people, you know, if you've been to a shoe clinic or a front runner or an athlete's foot, you might have watched that hind foot mechanics or the rear foot, and that is a very small part of, so I guess we're offering something just slightly different, and it's more of a passion project for me. And you know, after a couple of hundred assessments, everybody moves very differently. but no one moves very badly.
Yeah.
There's very few people I've gone, ooh, we've got a problem. And it's sort of, yeah, and most people, you know, fire me an email back 3 months later and they've gone away and taken some of that advice on board and they've come back and they've gone, I'm having a great time now. You know, maybe I'm not niggly, or maybe I've made a relationship with a support person or provider that has enabled them to do a little bit more. So it's, yeah, sort of education, connection.
You're looking at a collection of people for who, if you like, in many ways are mutually supportive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's definitely building that team of people around you. So when something does go wrong, and we might talk about it later about the reboot marathon, but when something isn't quite going as well as you want it to, you can lean on those people when you need them. And if you haven't got those people in place, it gets really tricky to find them when you need them.
You performed really, really well despite injuries or when you have been injured. I was actually at the Reboot Marathon and I could see you coming through, and Daniel had just overtaken you and you were looking really good before then. So can you share with me briefly what happened with that?
I bent over funny at work 10 days before the race, just helping someone with some shoes, and felt the outside of my knee. And I remember saying to Sam, who works with me, oh, gee, my knee's sore. And I didn't think much of it. And then I tried to go out and run again on the Friday morning, and that was quite sore. So I had some inflammation in the knee where the ITB attaches down there. And I'll go back one further. But injuries are a really interesting thing because it has some opposites as well. And when you're going really well, and often how we react to those two things can be in our ego. And so we don't often make really good decisions about how we cope with either going really well, so we call that the Superman, and when you feel like Superman, stop, because that tends to be when things are going to go sideways. And then also when you're injured, you think with your ego, I'll just push through it, or if I don't do this, someone's going to beat me. Or so you're not thinking, as you're thinking as the thing that what's going to happen further down the track. So back to that team thing, as it's really important, you've got a couple of people who can talk some sense into your brain that you trust in the moment, and you can park your ego to the side. So inflammation in the knee, Caden Shields, who's a fantastic physio and a good friend, and he ran incredibly well in Hamburg over the marathon. Wayne Armour, who's my body mechanic guy, Dawn, his mum, who's my massage therapist, John Hallimans, who's one of the sports doctors, and the chiropractor out of Rangiora, John Gibson, I push the button and they all just do their thing.
Yeah.
And so by Monday I'd seen Caden, he'd gone inflammation, John Hallimans had got me the anti-inflammatories, I'd been to see the chiropractor to fix the back, who was, Wayne had loosened the ITB, and then by Friday I could run again. So, and that doesn't just happen overnight, and so you have this sort of team of people, and that gives you a bit of self-belief as well, that all these people think, hey, you can get to the start line. And to be fair, I couldn't run 30 minutes 5 days before. You have to have some innate self-belief. It's not cocky. It's not self-absorbed. It's just I believe I can run 42K as fast as I can. And from an outsider, sometimes that can probably come across as a little bit lens-focused. But you have to. And so I thought, oh, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to run 42.2K as hard as I can. And I think often for the people watching or supporting, you won or you lost. And for us, I can't speak on behalf of the other guys that, I raced against. For me, it's kind of, did I perform well? Or did I perform as well as I could given the circumstances I found myself in on the day? Because I can't control what Dan's going to do. He's going to run his race.
Exactly.
And I know that inside of me, if I have the perfect day and everything goes really well, hey, I can compete with him. I can beat him. And same for him. If he's having his best day and he's in the best shape of his life or whatever, on that particular day, he's going to beat me. So that's the beauty of racing, and we can't control what the other one's doing. So I stood on the saddle and said, I'm going to run my guts out for 2 hours and then see what happens. Knowing that, 96 hours ago, I couldn't even do half an hour at jogging. And so you just really get stuck into it, and adrenaline takes over, and Cam Avery did a fantastic job of pacemaking, and, we set ourselves up to give ourselves an opportunity to run, to our potential. And that's, opportunity is a big word in my vocabulary. Have you given yourself the opportunity and to run to your potential in the environment you found yourself in, whether that's physical, mental, racing, distance, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, and, I felt like I did, given, what had happened that week personally for me with the injury, and then some other stuff that had happened at work that week with two staff going down with COVID and bits and pieces like that, you know, people don't often see that stuff in the background, and you're getting called home from school because they thought she had COVID, having to wait for her to get a test before I could go back to work. All that stuff that it's not as easy as being Mo Farah and just being put in a box. And we've got a lot of stuff going on. So I was really proud of that effort, you know, and to get back up off the road, full leg lock up, you know, 70, 80 seconds sitting on the side of the road trying to get my leg moving again, going, oh, I'm going to finish this damn thing because I've just run for 2 hours and 8 minutes and there's no way I'm not going to get there. Yeah. And so you take that into your next races and you go, well, I can do it. It's, you know, you gave yourself an opportunity and you did finish, and by God, it hurt, but that's okay. You know, pain ends up ending.
Yes, it has now.
Yeah, it has now. And I had a rest and that's okay. So, you know, I'm pretty pragmatic. At the time, you're disappointed. You know, you thought you could have run a minute and a half faster, win, lose, or draw, whatever. But you think, well, could I run quick? And you go, yeah, I can. And the beauty of a body is I've probably got a couple more years to give it another go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that self-belief of, you know, getting to that 2 hours and 8 minutes, despite, as you said, despite all of the background, that's going to grow your self-belief, actually, rather than going... it's a failure kind of thing.
I think Kiwis are quite interesting because not many of us are happy to say we're proud of ourselves. Mm. You don't often hear that, you know, with this tall poppy thing or whatever the analogy is, but we don't often, you know, internally or externally say, well, I was bloody proud of myself that day.
Mm.
And because we're scared of getting chopped down or it's something that's been bred into us, you know, but you go, well, actually, you have to have at some point, you got to go, well, actually, I was really proud of that effort. Mm. Whether or not from an outside's point of view, it went as well as someone thought it could have gone for me, I know internally that, anyway.
Exactly. Running together, as we've talked about, doesn't just mean a person jogging next to you. It also means the support we get to allow us to run.
Mm-hmm.
That support doesn't come any more fundamental than the shoes we wear.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about how you and your team can help people like me, an ordinary average runner?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is no one's ordinary and no one's average.
Which is the place we were talking about.
Everyone's
special.
Yeah, well, yeah, everybody is themselves. So that's the first thing that I would hope when people walked in, it wasn't, you know, oh, Oscar's helping me with my shoes and he's better than I am, or whatever. There's a barrier there, and we're not just for the elite, because I'm not elite. My marathon, I'm still 5K down the road from the real elite guys. So there's a bit of that. And then what you find and what I found in business is, you know, I've got my strengths and my weaknesses. So part of being a business owner or a manager is building parts around you that support your strengths and weaknesses, and likewise with your team, have strengths and weaknesses, and you can, you know, fill their strengths and weaknesses. So the team that we have, you know, varying different degrees of abilities, levels, distances, surfaces, extroverts, introverts, male, female, all that kind of stuff. And so I hope what people, when they come in, they get a bit of enthusiasm, because, you know, it's an energy exchange before it's a money exchange, because if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, you won't purchase the shoes from me. So it's, you know, I want to hear about your running and where you are on your journey of running and how I can help you, you know, with a pair of shoes. Sure, they're the things that hit the ground first, and we want to make sure that it's the right one, or at the very least not a wrong one. It's probably the better way to put it, because there's a lot of wrong ones out there, but there's probably a few right ones out there. And then it's basically being your hype man in the corner. And, you know, like Phil believed in me, or Ingram, my coach, believes in me, or whoever, I believe in that person. They've made the effort to come and, you know, drive out to Sydenham, which for some people was quite a ways, park up, walk in the door, be prepared to spend a couple of $100 and 20 minutes with one of our guys. So I hope that we can be someone's hype man or hype woman in the corner, you know, just saying, yeah, go, you good thing. You know, whatever that speed, distance, surface, ability is.
I have often seen you running with others around Hagley Park. Can you describe to me what are these groups that you are supporting, and how did you organise it in the first place?
Yeah, so there's a couple of groups. I don't have a lot of time.
No.
So there's not...
I don't know how you manage this all, but anyway.
No, so my wife's amazing. So my social time tends to be my training time. So I've got a couple of, you know, people that I would consider best friends that that we have run and competed together for, you know, half our lifetimes. And then obviously part of what we just talked about with my business is being someone's hype man. So we have a front runner run club, which is just free. We do that with Team CP, who's a coaching platform, but and Richard does a great job, and Kate comes in. And so I believe there shouldn't be too many barriers to sport, and there is, whether that's, you know, concrete hard like finances or, you know, that kind of thing, or mental or opportunity. And so one thing, you know, I do is try and find barriers and break those barriers down for people. So some people don't know where to start. It's easy. We can do that for somebody. Easy for me, maybe not easy for them. Feel not so confident running on their own. Well, that's an easy fix. We can do that. That's, you know, come along. Some people might feel the other way. So how can we encourage those people to come out and run in a group when they don't feel comfortable, or they think they're too slow, or they're not good enough? So can I break down those barriers by showing them that, hey, there is a 10-minute per kilometre run group that does some run walking and at our Tuesday night run club. And then there's the guys that come and run with me and want to push themselves at sort of 4:30. So there's a massive big variety of people, and we were sort of getting up to, you know, 75, 90 people on a Tuesday night, and we were splitting them into their sort of their groups, and it's a 45, 50-minute exercise, and some people will run 8 or 9K and some will do 3 or 4.
Somewhere to go then. Oscar, Takahe to Akaroa. Any memories there?
And we were talking about before we started recording, my greatest running memory is, you know, 2013 with the New Brighton Athletics Club and winning that gold medal against a Scottish team who was probably a little more fancy than we were. And so that was 9 years ago. And some fantastic memories and individual performances and a collective performance and a personal performance that I look back on now and think, you know, when I've finished running at the level in which my body is willing to give me, I will always treasure that day in October running over Takamatua and thinking, my lungs are going to come out of my throat, but I'm going to keep running because there's 7 guys and an angry old man in the van yelling at me not to stop. So, and coming into Akaroa, the faster runners did used to start back, and on that day we did, and you used to run through the field, and it was always a challenge to see if, hey, could we catch the lower seeded teams, and that gave you a sense of you could cheer on, you know, for me, obviously at the not at the time, but now to cheer on some of our customers if they were, you know, participating in teams, and you give them a yell and a cheer, and oh, thanks Oscar, and whoever that's else, right. Which is cool, and then also give us something to chase, otherwise it can turn into a bit of a lonely time trial if there's only 2 or 3 teams at that. At that top level, and that does give it something, you know, really different. Because if we run Christchurch Marathon or Auckland Marathon, you know, we're out the front and we don't get an opportunity to sort of see anyone else. So it's a really unique event to be able to have that staggered start. So I mean, I hope that the government's protocols and whatever are we are able to go back to that, and that means that everyone's at the finish line together, which creates a couple of thousand people. In Akaroa, which is, again, is, you know, everyone's getting their free sandwich and drink, sitting there together, and the prize giving is big, and it's celebrated, and we get to celebrate in all of our different achievements. So
And it's that team dynamic, isn't it?
Correct.
You've got the team, and you're supporting the team. They're supporting you. They're encouraging you. With such a busy life, how do you balance or perhaps achieve the right mix of commitment to the really important aspects in your life? Your running, your business, your family, your friends.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think we get really good at time management. That's the first thing. And often running is early and late. You have to be where you are now. So, and what I mean by that is, and if Katie listens to this, sometimes I'm good at this, sometimes I'm not. Katie's my wife. Is when I'm at home, I'm at home. And so you're at home and it's really quality, locked in with Indy, reading books, playing, laughing, being a goon, and enjoying that time. Even if I'm a bit tired, some of those activities might change to reading or, you know, snugging up and watching a movie and being there and doing that. And that's important. And then the same thing when you've got a small amount of time to do your run because I don't have all day, then again, you've got to be really present and there and doing it and get the best quality you can with what you've got. And also just saying, well, today's today and this is what I've got and accepting that that's what it is.
Yeah.
But also setting up a system that allows you to do the maximum amount possible. So, you know, having a kitchen and a shower at the shop helps. You know, and those little things that a time crunch, you know, so getting rid of distraction and noise and all that sort of stuff. And then obviously the business helps fuel everything I want to do, so that gets some attention too. And encouraging my staff to be, you know, I hate calling them my staff, people that I work with, encouraging them to be the best they can be so that I can be too, reciprocal. So I think being really clear and structured about what you need to achieve and what you need to do today, having a great coach, being where you are now, being as present as you can be, understanding what today is and what needs to be achieved and why you're doing it, and then being open to maybe wriggling slightly if you have to. Have a plan. What does Mike Tyson say? Everyone's got a plan until you punch them in the face.
That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right. Some days.
And then
yeah.
Things change.
Yeah.
You are clearly very passionate about running in all its forms. Mm-hmm. What are your goals? What is yet to achieve for you? And three questions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a vision of what the sport of running looks like or ideally should be like when your daughter, Indy, is your age?
Mm-hmm. Three good questions. I felt like in 2020 I was going to kick off some international racing. I'd set my life up, maybe had a little bit of money to do so. Home life was quietening down. Indy was starting school. Katie was doing a great job what she was doing in her work. And we just, but a balance was returning to the craziness of having a kid and buying a business and all those things that sort of happen. And in the background, you're training away, but maybe the races haven't quite gone the way you wanted to. But obviously that got pushed back 2 or 3 years. So for me, I think you could be disappointed about that or, you know, whatever. But for me, it's now... trying to say, look, I've probably got 3 or 4, maybe 5 years of what I'm willing and able to do what I, you know, train at level I'd like to train at and what I think my potential is, and then applying that trade to some races overseas and going and seeing how fast can I run a half marathon, you know, how fast can I run a marathon, what can I do, you know, moving forwards in my life, and then, yeah, I guess... maybe taking a step back and running for a bit more fun.
Yeah.
And helping some people a little more and, you know, filling that gap or maybe just sleeping a bit more. in terms of what I hope the sport looks like when Indy's, you know, 20, so we're talking 14 or 15 years away, you know, I hope that we can do a better job at giving men and women more even screen time. And you've got a daughter or two. And I want to be a part of that, and I want to help grow that side of the sport because I think it's incredibly important for, you know, self-belief and confidence and that, and giving equal opportunity to those two things. And I think the world champs did a great job at that this time around. That's just finished up in Oregon, and whether or not she likes running, who knows, but sport in general. I think I'd like to see a little more unified, a lot of opinions, a lot of people trying to do different things but the same thing. You know, I'd love to see some sort of unification and some, you know, maybe trying to do that at the Athletics New Zealand level and trickle that down, but how can we bring a whole bunch of stuff together and then start doing things a bit more for the athletes? How can we create faster courses, more memorable courses, or think outside the square and you know, do more great things and give opportunities for people to do more great things, because that's all it is really, is, you know, an event is an opportunity for someone to do something great, whether that's big, small, or you know, for their potential. But
thanks for sharing your precious time with us today, Oscar.
No worries, always happy to help.
That's our show for today. My thanks to Oscar Baines. Until next time, run with the support of others where you can. Nahmi, and bye for now.